Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Hey, friends, and welcome to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, and I'm so glad you're here. Each week on this show, I invite a friend to join me, and we chat about the big things in life, the little things in life, and everything in between. Hey, y'all. Happy Friday. Welcome to the last Friday of April. We have a great show for you today. Today, I chatted with Walker Hayes and Craig Allen Cooper. Now, you may know Walker Hayes because he is a very famous, like, amazing country music star who had a song that went crazy, fancy-like. How many of you guys have done the fancy-like dance and put it on your TikTok or your Instagram or your Facebook? I will admit I've done it and never posted it because it was ridiculous. But maybe I will. But today, Walker and Craig are here, and it was a great interview about two unlikely friends, literally two unlikely friends, and how they journeyed together through years. And eventually, Walker started following Jesus because of the friendship of Craig. I mean, it is a beautiful story. Their book, Glad You're Here, Two Unlikely Friends Breaking Bread and Fences, comes out next week. I read it before this interview and highly recommend it. I think I told them an unnormal amount of times how many times I think that this book is going to be used to draw people to Jesus. And I really do believe that because you have this famous man on here, Walker Hayes, and it's his story and Craig's story as well. But you see his journey towards following Jesus. And I think some people just need to know I can be on this journey towards him as well. So highly recommend you getting this book. You guys, if you have never checked out my YouTube channel, go check it out. Go to jamieivey.com/YouTube. Super easy to remember. jamieivey.com/YouTube. I don't know. Maybe I'll put a video up of me doing the fancy like dance. It will be so bad if I do. But go follow me over on YouTube. It's a fun place where we share behind the scenes. We share interviews, and it's a great place to connect as well. All right, y'all. Here is my conversation with Walker and Craig. Craig and Walker, welcome to the Happy Hour.
What's up?
Thanks for having us.
This is exciting. I want to give people a little behind the scenes. You know, this is an audio podcast. People can't really see what's happening, but you guys are in a dear friend of mine, Annie F. Downs studio. And so this feels just like full circle. Like me and Annie, like we're kind of doing the same thing. And I'm so happy to have you guys on the show.
We're thrilled to be here. And that was so great hanging with Annie. And it's so kind of her to let us use the studio.
So yeah, we're so happy to be doing this together. These are kind of our first go-rounds with this. So this is awesome.
Mm-hmm. So excited. Okay, Walker Hayes, Craig Cooper, you guys have a book called Glad You're Here, Two Unlikely Friends Breaking Bread and Fences. And I had the chance to read the book early over the weekend. And I've already told you guys, I cried my way through it. It was so good. But I want to tell you my biggest compliment. I already told you, I'm going to say it again for the viewers to hear. I really do think people are going to fall in love with Jesus because of the story.
Come on.
Lord, let that
be.
And the reason I think that is because what you guys bring to the table here first is a ton of vulnerability. And I don't know if you're feeling this little vulnerability hangover after like, did we really put all of that out there for the whole world to see? you're bringing a ton of vulnerability to the table, but you're also bringing like what discipleship and what falling in love with Jesus looks like. And so guys, I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. And that's you're right. Fun. Yeah. As it comes closer to coming out, it's like, oh, we said a lot. I said a lot of stuff in there. But yeah, you know, that's why I think the vulnerability kind of defines Craig and I's relationship. And that's why I was so drawn to him is just that unique vulnerability. And I never had that really with somebody. And so, yeah, you know, that I think that was Christ in Craig. You know, reaching, you know, for me, and I think that's important. I hope people are encouraged to become more vulnerable in their relationships and with strangers. And so that's maybe that might be cool. So
that's so great. I want to give a high level view of this story because a lot of people will know you, Walker, from your music career that you have just kind of bursting. And I think also, like, this is a great time to say, like, a lot of people see, like, oh, new artist of the year, you're bursting through. Guys, I need you to remember that anyone who bursts onto the scene has been working the scene for years and years and years. I think that is the misconception, that people think someone just shows up, like, and you talk about that a lot in your book. But I think the overarching story here is Walker, you and your family met Craig and your wife and your family and developed this friendship that I don't want to put words in your mouth, Craig, but I never got the sense that you were like on a mission to like be Walker's friend so you could save him. Like you loved Walker and their family because you love them as friendships, as a friend. Mm-hmm. And that's so encouraging nowadays because a lot of times believers are like, I got to get out and just like make everybody know Jesus, which is great. But Craig, you like became a blood brother, like friend of a friend. And so can you guys just go back to the very beginning and tell us how you met?
We met at a place where I didn't want to meet people, honestly. You know, I was tired of getting the, hey, what do you do? I'm a songwriter. Well, have you written anything? I know. No, I haven't. You know,
that's and always
so
fun.
So I didn't. I just really didn't like people in general. I was not a believer. I was extra loud about not believing and why I didn't believe. And Lainey and Laura struck up a friendship. The way I remember it was at a basketball game that both of our kids were playing in the same gym. Laura was married to Craig, obviously, and they were part of a new church, called Redeeming Grace. They invited Lainey to church. It had been a while since Lainey had wanted to try a church, and I was loving that phase of life. I thought we were kind of off the market for good, and you know, they weren't working for her for whatever reason. So I didn't hate that. Mm-hmm. And so when Laura invited Lainey on a Saturday to their new church, I mean, I wasn't infuriated, but I was like, are you kidding me? Like, it's the weekend. You know, the last thing I want to do tonight is go try another church. Mm-hmm. And, but I went and, I was hammered when I went. I was alcoholic at the time and I was hammered every day by that time. And, but we went and Craig was there and the first words he said to me were, glad you're here. Mm-hmm. And you know, the more I got to know Craig, you know, pinpoint you just saying he was my friend, is he meant it. You know, he was really glad I was here. I wasn't like his project. He wasn't deterred by my lack of belief or that I wasn't dressed like everybody there or that I smelled like a beer. He was legit glad I was in the house of the Lord and for whatever reason. And they just absolutely began to do life with us like I've never they did life with us like we've never known. And
it was community.
They joined us everywhere, the highs, the lows, and they didn't care, you know. And they and they did, they opened their house, they came to our house,
Craig, you write in here about how many times Walker encouraged you. And a lot of those times were really even before he was following Jesus. That seemed in the book, that seemed to really mean something to you, that someone who wasn't even this follower of Jesus, which as a follower of Jesus, I'm like, we encouraged because God loves us and we want to do that. And yet this man who is like one of your greatest friends, you know, he doesn't love Jesus the way you do. And yet he was such an encouragement in your life. What did that mean to you?
Oh, it meant the world. You know, and it's not like we were the blessing to the haze. Mm-hmm. That's not the way that it was. It was that I just feel like God was smiling on us when the haze walked into our lives. And so, you know, Walker just became like the greatest blessing to me in terms of friendship. And so we were together all the time. We would go to each other's kids' baseball games, basketball games. We'd go listen to him anytime he played. You know, he was playing at Puckett's Boathouse on Wednesday nights, a little Walker Wednesday, for about 15 to 20, 30 people there. And we just loved any moment that we got to hang out with them, and they just became fast friends. We talk about, you know, we shared dogs, which is crazy.
Like,
our
literally.
Dogs are sisters.
Yeah.
And Tulip and Noli Magnolia, they were sisters, and we had one, and they had the other, and they actually gave us Tulip. You know, they're like
the bad one.
Yeah, they're like, this is too much for us, you know.
Yeah.
And we took Tulip, but we just God just kind of knit us together in all the best ways. And so we would celebrate, you know, anything worthy of celebrating, and we would grieve together. And but yeah, I found, you know, in Walker, here's a creative guy who has dreams and aspirations and visions, wants to just do cool things to, you know, affect the world and whatnot. And so I was always sharpened by that. I was always encouraged by that. And I would leave times with him feeling really built up, even when he wasn't a believer.
Yeah.
And so I was longing for, you know, the Lord to give him faith in Christ so that we could share that bondhood of the brotherhood in the Lord. And so I was praying for that, but man, we just loved every second with them, and it was a gift to us, you know, in a time when we had moved from East Tennessee to Middle Tennessee, and we, you know, honestly, we were looking for friends, you know.
Yeah.
It was just,
you know,
a gift.
And not to spoil anything here, but Walker does love Jesus now, and that's the cool story.
That's the point.
You know, we were talking earlier, I think before we were recording, about just the vulnerability in writing a book. And Walker, you have, in the songs that you've written that I have seen and read, especially some that you put in the book here, they have a lot of vulnerability in them. I mean, I think that might be a really strong suit of yours publicly, to write songs and be creative that way.
Yeah.
But now we have a lot of vulnerability in this book for everyone to read, which it's hard for people. And you've said it's hard for you. You talk a lot, and you've mentioned already about alcoholism.
Yeah.
Tell me, was that hard for you to write about? Is that hard for you to share about in shows and talk about?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not proud of that, you know, that weakness, but I know I'm not alone out there. And honestly, even as I've become to know the Lord more and more, there's alcoholism is kind of parallel with all my coping mechanisms. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just that one's a little more taboo, and I shouldn't drive when I'm drinking, but I can also, you know, I can do a lot of sins and drive at the same time, and no one will get mad at me. But I just, you know, vulnerability, it's tough, you know, but it's also, you know, I was thinking as Craig was talking, we have done everything together. I mean, I literally, you know, Craig and Laura stood in the hospital and held the daughter that we lost, her cold body. We've celebrated together. We've been bored together over COVID.
Naps.
And we've literally all fallen asleep on the couch, just chilling, you know, and we watched football together. We watched our kids grow up together. And before my relationship with Craig, I'm just not that person. Mm-hmm. I'm wrongfully drawn to isolation.
Yeah.
And
it's like a cope, like a self-protection mechanism, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, so community is messy, and I'm like, let's just avoid that, because it comes with some props, you know, but you know, thanks to Jesus, you know, through Craig and through us, you know, we value that now. And honestly, I feel like, that the vulnerability that we share will unite us with people and hopefully encourage them to just say some things, to just have conversations that are not on the surface, and to not feel like, you know, Craig, this is so funny, but being with Craig, walking into Craig's house felt like an AA meeting in that, like when I walked across the threshold of Craig's house, I didn't feel like I had to have anything together.
Yeah.
And that, you know what, I honestly don't feel like that every day in church, and it's not the church's fault, but it's just how I felt around Craig. And
it's,
I hope
safe.
He
felt safe.
I do.
Totally.
Yeah,
totally. And not that I don't expect like Craig to never hurt my feelings
or
things like that, but just the lines of communication are open. I don't feel like I need to have any pretense put on. I can come not in my Sunday clothes to Craig and Laura's house, and just, I can let it all out. And that is what Jesus wants, I think, from me on a daily basis.
Yeah. If you don't know it, guys, I'm a Texas girl through and through. I've lived here most of my life. I was born here, and I love traveling. Here's why I love traveling throughout Texas, because it has a vast landscape of cultures, regions, destinations, and activities, which means there's an infinite number of different travel experiences. And no two travelers are exactly alike, and it means that no two trips should be either. If you're a beach person, well, you can have fun under the sun with Texas's 350 miles of coastline. If you're more of a rugged vacation type, there are campgrounds, hiking trails, and state parks galore. And foodies cannot get enough of Texas's world-famous barbecue and Tex-Mex. Enjoy live music, visit internationally recognized art museums, and check out thrilling cowboy experiences. And now, Travel Texas offers a one-of-a-kind online trip builder that allows users to generate a custom, visually led trip matched to their unique interests. Guys, come visit my state. Visit traveltexas.com/get-your-own to get the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours. That's traveltexas.com/get-your-own. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginner or advanced rides, feel-good live DJ rides, or artist-themed rides, they've got something for you. You guys, I've done the beginner rides a lot, and I'm not ashamed of that, and I've loved every single one. Peloton bike instructors keep you motivated from day one. In fact, I found a few of my favorites and I keep going back to the same instructors. They show you the basics, they'll help take the guesswork out of your workout and encourage you to build from there. Peloton Entertainment keeps you moving. You can watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride. Perfect for those days when you don't want to miss a thing. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
And I think, like when we are vulnerable, and especially with you two who have a public platform, like you have this book and you're putting vulnerability out there, what it does for the reader is it goes, wow, if Craig and Walker can talk about these hard things publicly, which we know they've talked about it privately, then man, maybe God can handle my mess. Like maybe God can handle my stuff. And Craig, you even talk in the book. You talk in the book about how when Walker was vulnerable with you about his drinking, and it actually allowed you to be more vulnerable with him about your own stuff. And yeah. It may have been stuff that wasn't as like taboo as what we would culture would say. Yeah. But I do think that there's that community aspect that when one person feels they can be safe and vulnerable, then it is just like a overflow to the other person who's like, I think I can be safe and vulnerable too. Cause you experienced that the same thing with Walker.
Oh, I did 100%. Yeah. You know, I've always known him to be really transparent, really bold. And I, you know, he had his guard down when we were spending time together. And I don't know what you would attribute that to or anything, but it actually helped me to take my guard down and just go, yeah, I've struggled with this too. Like, you know, him talking about being dropped from, you know, record labels and whatnot helped me to share. I've been fired from my first pastoral ministry role.
Yeah.
And I was in my early 20s. And, you know, that's not something that you would readily share,
right,
you know, with somebody. Because I felt so bad about that.
Yeah.
You know, but then I saw in him, I think, just vulnerability, transparency, openness, letting guards down. And then we just, I mean, honestly, yeah, like he says, a brother. I mean, that's what
It
really just feels like, you know, my brother from another mother.
Come on. Craig's, honestly, this is all on top of what Craig said. Is in the song, is, you know, he said, man, when he gave me the car, you know, I didn't want it. I was so proud. I was like, no way. I don't need it.
It was an altercation.
It was. Yeah. It was very tense.
I felt it a little bit when I read about it, that you were like at that baseball field, like, no, I'm not doing this.
Yeah. I don't want, you know, I think I'm like a lot of people. I don't want to need help. And if I do, I'm not going to say help. I'm just going to try to figure out a way to not need help. which is like kind of a survival of the fittest thing, I feel like, in the world. But Craig said, man, you know, somebody did this for me once, just let me do this for you. And I think right there in his sentence is the summation of how I should help someone is just as I'm helping them, remind them. And I try to do that with my kids. You know, you never bark at your kids like, hey, do this way without reminding them. Hey, I also, like, I had to learn how to do this too. I did it wrong and I did it wrong for years. So I want to, if you do this right now, you won't have to go backwards, you know? And so anyway, I just love that. To me, I hope that's pumped through the book, you know, perpetuated just that. Mm-hmm. What is the girl, Sadie Robertson lady? Mm-hmm. She said, Lainey related something to me the other day. She said, never trust a leader without a limp. And I think somebody told her that. Sadie. But, you know, Craig was a leader with a limp. Again, I didn't feel like I had to come in and be like, oh, no, don't give me the van. You know, the minute he said somebody did this for me, I was like, I have permission to be weak. Mm-hmm. And that's just a great, I need that every day. Like, I literally need someone to meet me at my door and go, hey, just so you know, if for today, it's okay to be weak. Yeah. I've been weak also. So let's be weak together and go to the strength of all strengths together, which is Christ.
Yeah.
Ooh, yes. Man. You know, it's so good. And I think so many times, like I think of your story, Craig, and you talk in the book about being fired from that first pastoral job. And there's could be a lot of shame in that.
Oh,
a lot of like embarrassment and like a lot of like, I want Walker to know Jesus. And yet I was fired as a pastor. What is he going to believe me? Is he going to trust me? And I think even that act of you going, I'm not defined by what happened. Mm-hmm. Like I'm defined by Jesus within me. That comes through. And I'm sure Walker would attest that that was coming through. Like he was not concerned about you getting fired as a pastor. He was concerned of you as a friend. And I think that's what people forget as they think, oh, people are going to only think of me as my worst mistake or this happened to me or whatever. And really like, God is just good to use us even in the midst of our mess and our problems. All
that's the only way he'll use us, honestly.
Well, I always say he's all he's got to work with is messed up, broken people. So just get in line because he's going to use you. Like, that's it. There's no other option. There's
which
no
gives
other
so
option.
Much hope for all of us. It gives so much hope for all of us because we are a
it's
mess.
It's so hopeful. It's so hopeful. Walker, right now you get the opportunity, you talked in your book about having people, you know, that you'll meet on the road and stuff, talk about going through some of the same experiences that you have gone through. And I wonder if you can look back and think about these last couple of 5-10 years and you can see God's hand even when you couldn't actually see that it was happening. How does that, do you feel pressure to be that person now that someone's saying, hey, like you told the story in the book, you met someone who they lost their seventh child. Does that feel pressure or do you feel honor? I'm asking, what do you feel now that God has given you this platform and this position to be able to speak into people's lives in a new and different way that maybe wouldn't have been there 10 years ago?
I don't really feel, if I do feel pressure, I don't think that's from the Lord. That's just my insecurity, you know, getting out there and putting too much power in my hands that really doesn't exist. And my testimony is one that there's a lot of disgusting things that God used, like way worse than a jawbone of a donkey. But, you know, like he really did. I mean, you know, the song, Craig, I wasn't a believer and God was like, watch me use this for my glory. And you don't even like me. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And then I lost a kid, and no parent would be able to make sense out of that without Christ, but he used that. I mean, honestly, for the rest of my life, I will always, you know, who knows what's going to happen to me before I leave and go to heaven, but I mean, I truly, my testimony is one that it's proof that God will use the worst things to point people to him. And so I even kind of try to think that, you know, when I'm every night when I share my testimony and I sing the song, Craig, I'm really vulnerable with the crowd. I'm like, hey, I kind of get scared when I tell people what I'm about to tell you because it's super important to me and it's the most valuable thing I have to offer you. And I don't want to flub it up. But I'm not a preacher, so I'm like, if there's any Christian authors out there, I'm sure I'm going to say something wrong here, but I'm just trying to share my heart. So, you know, that takes, honestly, a lot of, like, it goes back to vulnerability. Being vulnerable takes a lot of pressure. You know, if you go in a room and you put all your crap on the table, there's not any pressure anymore. You're
here
like,
it is.
Hey, there, that's what's up. So,
I
said, if I do feel, you know, pressure, it's not real. That's just kind of a voice lying to me.
You speak of suffering and you've been through immense suffering with losing your child. And Craig, in the book, you quote C.S. Lewis in a book that he wrote called The Problem of Pain. And you said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Mm-hmm. And I think I would just like to ask you, has that been true in both of your lives? Is that you felt like, you know, God, he whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience, but in our pain, he's shouting. It is his megaphone of who he is. And I would love to hear from you, because that's an encouragement to people who are listening, because there are a lot of people listening who are walking in intense pain right now. What has it been like for you to actually hear God shouting within that pain?
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I resonate with that quote so much. And have experienced that, I think, you know, in my life. Prosperity is a blessing, and it can be a challenge too, you know, because you can forget your need, you know, for the Lord. Adversity is one where every leg on the stool or the chair that you're sitting in, you know, can just be taken out from underneath you, and you find yourself in a ball on the floor. And I think in those moments, you know, God gets our hearts. And so when, you know, when C.S. Lewis is saying he shouts in our pain, I mean, he has our attention.
Yeah.
I think it's what he's saying is, you know, here's what really, really, really matters.
Yeah.
And it's me, you know, I feel like the Lord is saying, and your relationship with me, more than all the externals and stuff. And so, yeah, I've had that happen in numerous times. That happened to me when I got fired from pastoral ministry. And it was so hard. But also it was beautiful, because I realized, I felt like what the Lord was saying is, you know, you don't have to be a pastor to have a vibrant relationship with me.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to have a position to be used by me.
Yeah.
You don't have to, you know, have some sort of external, you know, credentials or anything like that to have a walk with me. And so the Lord drew near to me in that. And I think, you know, for you with Oakley, what would you say about this?
I would just say, I don't know how else to describe it except just say, you know, right now, I'm set at such an interesting phase career-wise. And this has something to do with my answer. But nothing to do with my salvation. But I mean, the world has been just handed to us occupationally. I mean, it literally had the biggest song in the galaxy last year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if you handed me that, all of my dreams come true. And then you said you can either have that, or you can have the distance that God closed by taking Oakley. But between me and himself, I would give you all the career, the future of the career, the buses, the roof over our head, just for that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I would trade you. I wouldn't think about it in a second. Mm. And it was without a doubt the hardest pain. You know, I hope I don't have to ever hurt. You know, like that again. Mm-hmm. But again, I wouldn't, you know, what the Lord does with those times. You know, I hate that. I really do hate that about life. It's a lovely thing, but I tell my kids all the time, you know, when they're hurting, I'm just like, man, this is when you grow. You know, God does amazing things to you here. He doesn't, I don't know, when you win the Olympics, you don't really become better. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's it's weird. You actually win the Olympics probably because you had
a bunch
some
of hard
pain
stuff.
Before.
Yeah,
yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's an interesting fact of life. But yeah, that would be an easy transaction.
Yeah.
That's
incredible.
Yeah, it makes you think of, you know, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and He saves those who are crushed in spirit. Mm-hmm. And the closeness, like you would say, I want the closeness of the Lord, you know, more than a heart that's filled with all the prosperity.
All the things the world could give you.
World. Yeah. Yeah. And I agree with that.
Mm. Yeah. Walker, you talk in the book about... you started to experience success early. Well, you know, your early success.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, I got a platinum album. Now I have to do that again. And you've already mentioned it here. And you talk about it a little bit as well. It's like, okay, so, you know, alcohol would be like one addiction, but I can be addicted to working out,
totally.
Whatever it might be. And so what is that success that you've had? I guess a couple of questions of like, what has it taught you? Like, how do you move forward knowing that this is not the end of this quote unquote success in this music career? Like, this is the beginning. And so how are you looking towards the next couple of years and going, hey, how am I going to keep this, like, the right focus on what's important?
Yeah. My danger is, you know, I can make some beautiful things. I can make them seem like my Lord, you know.
Yeah. You can take something really good and make it the best, like an idol. Yeah.
And I could do that to my wife and kids. I mean, I honestly prayed a lot the past couple of weeks. Just, I want to love the Lord more than my family, you know.
Yeah.
And that's hard. I really do, but but I don't all the time, you know. And I'm like that with you know, fame can really turn me to a narcissistic person just in a snap, you know. I can just wake up and find myself sucked into, you know. I noticed over COVID I didn't have anything to cling to, and it was a very freeing time for me. And then when work came back, it was successful, and I felt my grips begin to tighten around this career and be like, oh, here we go, you know. And so I really, you know, I it's a challenge, you know. It's success as far as my family, it's been an adjustment, you know. And fame especially, you know. And I don't know. I just think it's oddly enough, success has grown my need for Jesus exponentially, you know? And, but yeah, I mean, what it looks like in the future, honestly, my favorite days are the days I wake up and I'm not holding tight, and I'm just like, you know, God, whatever, you know, 'cause I look at this book and I didn't do any of this. Like, my name's on it, but God wrote it all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just blobbed it all out. And I didn't even do that great of a job. I mean, I read it and I'm like,
you did a great job.
I sound like a 17-year-old.
Amazing job.
But
you
like,
did a great job.
You know, it's just, it is remarkable, you know, the things that are happening in my life and the things, like I'm having an interview with you talking about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's not, trust me, you know me 4 years ago. You'd have been like, nah, got the wrong dude.
You did start a men's group, and you didn't even know you were starting a men's group.
That was
you know?
Hilarious.
I love that.
I thought that was
so
funny.
It's still going, actually.
Is it really?
Yeah, I got the text on Monday.
That's crazy.
Yeah they canceled
that's one
it
of my
this
favorite
Monday,
parts
but
of the
it's
whole
still
book.
Going.
That Walker,
oh,
like,
thanks.
I started a men's group. I didn't even know it.
I know. It did. It got so redeeming it's grace awesome. Heavy, and I was like, what's going on here? But no, I mean, the Lord is so... It's just obvious how, like you see, you know, His handprints, they're on all everything. You know, the minute I try to be like, that has my hand, it doesn't, you know.
Well, I mean, I think too, you know, Walker, you said I didn't do anything. This book is so good from both of you guys, but I do think there's this, like, your name, people know you because of your music career, and they're going to get to see something that's so much deeper and bigger than, you know, a successful album and tour and all the things. And they're going to get to see, like, a real person on a journey of falling in love with Jesus. And I think that so many times we miss that journey, and you've got the whole journey of here of like how God used Craig and your family and setbacks and Costco and McCreary Mondays and all the things to get you where you are today. And I'm really excited about this book and you guys and everything it's going to do.
Well, thanks.
That was beautifully said. You know,
so
a journey of falling in love with Jesus. That's really amazing. Thank you.
I mean, isn't that what we're all on? And we just got to see Walker's journey like played out. And Craig, it was your journey too. Like, we're all still falling in love with Jesus more and more. So congrats, guys.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
I'd love to know, what are you guys reading these days?
You go for you. Come on.
Yeah, let's see. I'm in the middle of Shauna Nyquist's book. I'm almost done with that one.
I just ordered it. I love her writing so much.
I love her writing. I just love her writing.
It's so good.
And
yeah.
So Christian memoirs, that's a big part for me. I finished Bob Goff's book, Undistracted.
Uh-huh.
I love Bob Goff's writing. It was amazing.
Yes.
Let's see. Yeah.
You told me you just finished Jenny's book.
Jenny Allen. Oh, my goodness. All right. So listen, that book is kind of prescriptive of, like, you know, we're such a connected age and world, but we're lonely. Mm-hmm. And how do you find your people? It's called Find Your People.
Find
and how
your
do
people.
You, how do you have friends? I was telling my wife, I read it. I resonated so much with that book. I think it's amazing. And I said, you know, Glad You're Here is kind of like case study of Jenny Allen's book, Find
Exactly.
Your People. And I told Walker and Lainey, I was like, dude, I just finished this book and y'all are my people.
I love it.
Awesome.
Yeah. So
also side note, I just need to say, you had told me the books previously that you're reading. And I was like, a man coming on here telling me they're reading two books written by women just made my day.
There you
I was
go.
Like, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Supporting those women. All right, Walker, what about you?
Well, I've got two other women. I'm not a big reader, everybody, so that I had to kind of make this up. But I'm hanging here with Annie Downs today, so I'm going to leave with a bunch of her books, and I will at least start.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, that does. Yeah, exactly.
I read that, too.
Title.
It's amazing.
Did you like that?
It's really good.
Okay. Fantastic.
And there's a kid's one, too, What Sounds Fun to You. I'm probably pick that up. But my favorite book, like a book that changed my life was Rosaria Butterfield, Secrets of an Unlikely Convert, I think it's called. And it's in our book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've never, I don't know. It
changed your life.
It did. And Lainey and I had a conversation and I said, can you show me somebody that, I'm sorry, I bet Rosaria would hear this and be like, wow, I don't know if I would say it like that, but I was begging Lainey. I was like, show me somebody as gross as me who is different now and sanctified at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that book came into Lainey's hands, and then I read it, and then I bought a Bible. So I hope people will do that with Glad You're Here.
I think they're going to do it. I think they're going to do it. You guys, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
So
thanks
much.
For coming on the Happy Hour. Congrats on your book.
I love the name of the podcast, the Happy
thank
Hour
you.
Podcast.
Thank
that.
You. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I hope lots of people know Jesus from this book. Let's do it.
Come thank on. You. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey podcast. We are truly grateful for every single story that we get to share with you, every encouragement we get to give you, and every opportunity we get to point all of us to Jesus. If you're loving this show, we would really appreciate it if you would leave us a rating and or a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, tell your friends. That is the number one way that people find out about our show. It's because you tell them. Join us right here every Wednesday and Friday for meaningful conversations that will make us think, they'll make us laugh, and they'll always point us back to Jesus. And come find me other places on the internet as well. I love Instagram. I'm over there at Jamie Ivey. And if you've never visited my YouTube page, you're going to want to go there. Have you ever listened to a show and wondered, I wonder what they look like? Well, go find us over there. It's jamieivey.com/YouTube. The Happy Hour is produced by Lindsay Sweeney. Show notes are written by Abigail Castell. Graphics are by Amaya Savoy Easton. The show is edited by Angie Elkins. And I'm your host every week, Jamie Ivey. And goodness gracious, I love being here with you guys. Until next time, have a happy hour with a friend.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.